This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio Indy. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, good to be with you, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
And it's still kind of a new thing, so I want to mention it again here. If you know somebody who speaks Spanish, or have relatives or friends or people at your parish that do, Catholic Radio and Catholic TV are both available 100% in Spanish 24 hours a day at our website, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you just look along the right-hand side of the opening page there, you'll see a bright-colored button that says Habla Español. I think I got that right.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, you can choose radio or TV, and you can watch or listen to Catholic Radio in Spanish anytime you want, 24/7. So check it out. And if you would, share that with people at your parish as well. They may not be aware of that. They might not be listening to Catholic Radio. So CatholicRadioIndy.org for Spanish language television and radio Catholic programming 24/7.
That's really awesome that we're doing that. So muy bien, Jim. Muy bien.
Yeah.
That means very good for our that was for maybe our non-Spanish.
I speak Espanol un poquito.
Yeah, very good.
Which means something or other.
Very little, actually. We're rocking and rolling here. Well, hey, we are going to be talking about discipleship and evangelization today. And really in the church, we're really in a new era of discipleship where people are really encouraged to be more outward facing versus inward facing to just the needs of the parish. And today we're going to be talking about uniting in heart in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana and how to disciple others. And joining us is Robert Hartley. He is the Director of Evangelization, Family Life, and Pastoral Ministries for the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. So welcome to Faith in Action, Robert.
Thank you. Good morning, Jim and Bridget.
And what's really interesting, I read in the Catholic Moment that you are not from this area recently. You're out more in the D.C. metro area, and you came to Indiana for this new position. So I want to hear a little bit about, you have an interesting background. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you happened to come to Indiana.
Well, I like to use a line that I learned in seminary from a professor that said, with God, the shortest distance between two points is not always a straight line. That has certainly proved true in my own life. A quick story of my background is that I grew up nominally Catholic. I was baptized as a Catholic, but only went to church on a few occasions at Catholic and Easter. When I was 11 years old, I had a sister who was 18 who was going through her own conversion, and she started taking me to Mass, arranged for me to receive Holy Communion, and put me in CCD classes. And so that was my really first experience with the Catholic faith, you know, properly. When she was 20, she moved out. I was 13 at the time, and so going to Mass was my own decision, and I stopped going. As a young adult, I found myself searching for God, and I went to the only thing I knew, which was the Catholic Church. I went there for, you know, a couple of years. It was nice, but it just wasn't really changing my life in a way that I had hoped. At that same time, I was invited to an evangelical Protestant church by some friends, and when I went there, the preaching really confronted me and confronted whether or not I really believed in Jesus as the Son of God, as the one who died and rose from the dead, and through all of that, I would have my sins forgiven. It really challenged me, but as I really thought about it, prayed about it, I came to a point where I believed and basically gave my life over to Christ at that time. My faith caught fire, and I spent 9 years as a Protestant, growing so much that I wanted to be a Protestant pastor, and made plans for seminary. Shortly after that time, I met who would become my future wife, and we eventually got married, and I was in seminary at the time, and she was Catholic. We had talked about our faith. We thought, you know, that maybe she might become Protestant at some point, but after we got married, she really couldn't change. The Catholic faith was too important to her. And after 4 years of marriage, I realized that for our family, I did not want Jesus to be the cause of division. And so I started going to Mass with my wife, and with seminary under my belt, I was able to really think, you know, pretty strongly on theological lines. And as I started looking at the Catholic Church, I believed in what it was teaching, and I eventually was confirmed in 1999. Shortly after that, I began teaching at the Catholic high school level. I taught religion in scripture, morality, church history, and then later started working as a contractor for the archdiocese, teaching catechists, parochial school teachers, and deacons in formation on sacraments, the creed, morality, and scripture. So I did that for about 4 years, and then my family got too big for me to support on a as a sole provider on a educator's salary. So I sort of switched gears there, and I started a career in Department of Defense, working for the Navy as a civilian, as an analyst, and that career went on for about 17 years, where I grew into a manager and then eventually an executive leader. So that kind of brings me to the current point. I felt that I needed a change for our family. We were looking for a new environment to move to. We weren't real happy with the area that we were living in, some of the schools and the direction that they were heading in. And I had a sister-in-law who is a national Dominican sister, and we mentioned a number of places in the country that we were thinking of moving, and she mentioned this part of Indiana, and we came out, looked at it, we felt very confident in it, we saw a strong Catholic culture, and so we started to, you know, put the gears in motion to move here. And as I was doing that, I was praying about what does this mean for my career. And I knew that this could be an opportunity to get back into a religion-based form of employment, more ministry-based. And as I was praying, I was thinking of, you know, with someone who was going to be a pastor, I had always thought, why did you send me to seminary if you're not going to use it?
Mm-hmm.
And this was an opportunity at this point for to make a change. And as I was looking for employment in this area, I saw the position advertised with the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, and I felt that it was a good match for my skill set. It had managerial applications, it had ministry applications, and so the combination I thought was a good fit, and that's where I find myself at this point.
You seem to have a combination of jobs there with the Diocese of Lafayette. Your title probably takes about a business card and a half just to get it all on.
Yes, it is a long description, but, you know, the more I look at trying to implement United in Heart, what I'm realizing is you can't do this piecemeal. This is a holistic change. It's a paradigm shift in the way that the church needs to go forward. And so as a person who likes to integrate things, I feel it's a great match for my skills. And trying to solve the problem of evangelization, of discipleship, requires more than one lane in the road, if you will. And so I really enjoy the fact that my portfolio spans across multiple different areas within ministry.
I want to talk a little bit about Uniting in Heart, since you mentioned it. And for our listeners that are just joining us, we are talking with Robert Hartley. He's the Director of Evangelization, Family Life, and Pastoral Ministry for the Diocese of Lafayette. What is Uniting in Heart, and what does that have to do with evangelization exactly?
Okay, to really understand that, yeah, I really have to go back to the church universally.
Sure.
With its changes, and that goes back to Vatican II. Basically, the church realized at that point that the world was changing to such a large degree that we were living in a post-Christian world, and if the church was going to be effective in making disciples of all nations, it needed to change the way it approached the world. And so, you know, we find ourselves almost 60 years after that council, but I kind of like to describe it, you know, if you go to clean out your garage, you're going to mess things up a little more than they already are before they get cleaned up and get put in right order. So I think that's what the church has been going through. You had people digging in their heels saying, I'm not going to change. You had other people saying, oh, we're going to change, all right. We're going to do it in such a major way that it's actually going to be, beyond what the church intended. And so as the dust has settled over these past decades, our diocese, the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, we're beginning to make those changes in our own diocese, and we're going to go through similar things as well. We're going to have to sort of mess things up a little bit before we can get them on the right trajectory. And that's kind of where we are right now.
And that's so funny because I just cleaned my office and I'm like, this is a lot worse than it was before. But it's true. That's such a great analogy, because once you get everything kind of reordered, you can really execute and be so much more efficient and better in what you're trying to do in terms of your mission and everything. One thing that you said that really I thought was really interesting is that your sister, it had a conversion and she invited you, started taking you to Mass, and then your friends invited you. Do you think that evangelization is really about, in part, the invitation of one person to another to maybe attend a retreat or to go to Mass or whatever? Can you talk a little bit about the invitation?
Absolutely. It is probably one of the most critical elements of evangelization. Again, going back to Vatican II, one of the main emphases of that council was that the laity have to be more involved in the mission of the church, that this is not just the role of priest and clergy to go out there and make the church grow and convert people to Christ. So it is absolutely essential. As you mentioned, those are just two people that have drawn me closer to Christ and have provided me what we like to say is an encounter with Christ. And so that's what we're trying to do with United in Heart, is to equip parishes, pastorates, and individuals in the diocese to go out and do their part of the mission.
Now, a term that we're hearing just fairly recently to me, at least maybe the last year or two, is intentional disciple, as opposed to just a plain disciple. And I think a lot of people think, well, yeah, I'm a disciple, but is there a difference between an intentional disciple and a regular disciple?
I think the way I would describe that is we have an awful lot of cultural Catholics in the church. And what I mean by that is, in many cases, they're there, they're going through the motions, but the idea of discipleship, this idea of encounter with Christ, a personal relationship with Christ, sort of eludes them, in some cases, through no fault of their own. It's just sort of habits that the church has got into. When we say intentional discipleship, we want them, each individual person, to have that sort of confrontation that I had in my early 20s, where I really had to answer that question: do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the starting point. And then the question, and then following that is: do all the promises follow through for my life? Do I believe that? And when you enter into that beginning, that's your intentional decision. But then from that point on, you're not just going through the motions. You're prayerfully discerning what does God want from me? What is he asking from me? Where in my life do I need to serve him? So that's what we mean by intentional. Instead of just sort of walking through the motions, just because that's what we've always done, we're now starting to look at, no kidding, what does God want from my life? What's his plan for my life? And then getting on board with that.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a three-step process, I guess, that you have suggested where people can use to evangelize others. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action, and we'll talk about that.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, I'm not a Catholic. I listen to your station.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Robert Hartley. He is the Director of Evangelization, Family Life, and Pastoral Ministries for the Diocese of Lafayette. And Robert, you have a really, you have a big job ahead of you here in the Diocese of Lafayette. I want to talk a bit about what's going on in the church in terms of people leaving. Why do you think young people are leaving at such a alarming rate? Maybe talk a little bit about the state of the church in regards to evangelization.
Sure. I think I mentioned earlier in the interview that our approach to sort of solving the current situation in the church is a very holistic approach, and it's a paradigm shift. And what we mean by that, to answer that question, why are people leaving the church? I think it's there's so many variables that come into play. Part of it is a very widespread secular philosophy that has sort of spread into all of our institutions, into government, into schools, into society as a whole. That's part of it, which basically turns people away from God. Then you look at technology and social media and just how quickly information such as secular philosophy can spread. And all of those things, you know, in and of themselves are neutral, but when they can be used to spread secular philosophy, it becomes very impactful, and it changes the way people think. Another thing is the breakdown of the family. Over the past 50 years, we've seen so many different things, you know, interfere with the family being a close-knit unit, and because of that, it has left many people sort of with an inability to understand, to think about the faith, and to receive God's grace. So we have to repair that family, repair that foundation for which the faith can be passed on, particularly at a young age. And then lastly, you know, we can't neglect the fact that the church has to take some ownership as well. As I mentioned earlier, sort of the mess following Vatican II, we went through a number of decades where the church was very confused. Many people, including clergy, didn't even know what to preach or to teach. And because of that, we have got several generations, or at least a generation and a half, of Catholics who did not really receive a solid foundation in the faith. And then, of course, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the clergy scandal. So for those who already have a fragile understanding or a fragile foundation in the faith, it wouldn't take much to sort of break that foundation, you know, completely. And so we think that contributes to it as well. But one of the interesting things is, as you look at the surveys of people over the past several decades of why they left the church and when they left the church, we're finding that, in particular, between the age of 18 and 23 is an extremely vulnerable time. And I think what we're seeing there is these people who have grown up in the Catholic faith and have not received a solid foundation and have been challenged by a world completely opposed to the faith, once they reach that age of young adulthood where they get to make the decision on their own, you know, what am I, who am I, and do I believe this, they bolt. They're gone. So that's the first thing. The second thing in these surveys that we're seeing is, particularly among millennials who grew up Catholic, 60% of them did not believe in a God who was personal, who had an interest in their life, who is a God that they can have a relationship with. So that is also a major data point that we're looking at when we think about turning this around. So you will hear this phrase, encounter with Christ, is something that we are trying to make become a reality, that people will know that, no, Christ, you know, if he were to die only for them, that's how personal Christ is, that if they were the only individual that he would have to die for, he would have done it. So that's the message we're trying to get across as we evangelize and proclaim the gospel.
One of your, I believe it was your last article of the three-part evangelization series that you wrote for The Catholic Moment, which I thought was very good. You mentioned a three-step process. We have about, Jim, how much time do we have left?
About 6 minutes.
So can you get the three-step process so we can give our audience some nuggets, some action points to work on?
Certainly. I first want to just say that there really is no formula. There's no magic formula to evangelization. It really is a movement of the Holy Spirit, and whether you're the one evangelizing and hopefully the one being evangelized, if you're open to the movement of the Spirit, you can go in a way that God wants to lead, whatever it is, whether it's a conversation or a relationship. But for those three things, I think it's essential to know that the first thing we have to realize is that relationship is important. You just can't go and dump doctrine on somebody and expect them to get it or to respond in a positive way. So you have to form relationships. When you look at St. Paul, he went out on his missionary journeys. He visited cities and towns. He stayed with them for a while. He would return to them on secondary visits. And in between those visits, he would write letters to them. He had a relationship with them. You see in Acts chapter 20 in Ephesus, when he's leaving Ephesus, you can see them weeping. They're crying that he has to leave them. So he formed relationships. It wasn't just, hey, I've got this gospel package for you, and then he rolls out.
Mm-hmm. He actually, here's a book. Read it.
See ya.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
He stays with them and gets to know them. So we have to form relationships with others. There's plenty of places we can do that. We can do it in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our communities, in our jobs. There's so many places that we have natural relationships, and those have to be first. Second thing is we need to have our personal faith story and faith sharing ready to give to others. You know, it's one thing to say there's this gospel that's unattached to me and to others, and it's something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's another thing to say, well, you know, here was my life before Christ, and then here's what happened in my life after Christ, and it's changed tremendously, and I don't know how I would manage. I don't know how I could go forward in life without Christ, without the Holy Spirit guiding me. So it's important that we're able to share that. We learned in 1 Peter chapter 3 that he says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. There's an implied teaching there that people would probably want to ask. So you have to live your life in such a way that it's not just words, but it's sort of a living testimony that people look at you and say, what has that person got? I think the woman at the well is a great example of this, because she had an encounter with Christ, and she ran back and she told people in her town, and they wanted to have the same experience, so they invited Jesus to stay with them. So they have to see it in our lives before they want it in their lives. And then lastly, you can't forget, you actually have to proclaim the gospel itself, which is the nuts and bolts, the core parts of the gospel, which is, you know, God loves us. We have a sin problem. God loves us enough to solve that sin problem. He sends his Son, who was crucified and resurrected, and if we want to receive the grace from that, we have to believe, we have to repent, that is, to turn away from sin and to turn towards God, and we have to be baptized. And so that's sort of the nuts and bolts of the gospel. There's obviously a lot more to that, but you can't proclaim the gospel without getting to those main points.
So we have about 3 minutes left. I want to ask you about the Holy Spirit and how people can be open to receive the Holy Spirit and how to have an encounter so that they can kind of get their own life on fire to get this started. I know that's a big question in such a short time, but do you have any thoughts on that? Because people maybe don't know where to start or how to have that encounter with Jesus, but kind of through the power of the Holy Spirit and kind of get on fire, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think the most basic way is to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. You know, it's an honest and open prayer. Lord, I want to get closer to you. You know, help me. God's great with an honest prayer. That you open the door just a little bit, and God will answer. He will answer in that in an amazing way, probably in a way that most people wouldn't even imagine. But it kind of starts with that, being open. The other thing is, you know, constant prayer, reading of the scriptures, and participating in the Mass. If you're talking about those who are already Catholic, participating in a Mass that actually opens up and fully engaged, so that you're hearing the Word, you're listening to the homily, and you're trying to encounter Christ in the Eucharist. I think that's sort of starting point there. And then the Holy Spirit will take that and go in amazing places.
How do you hope to, I guess, promote the gospel in your role there? What are your hopes, or, I guess, anticipation as you work in this new role? What's your goal? To get to heaven, obviously.
You're talking about for me?
Yes, exactly. For you in this new role, what do you hope to achieve as you go forward with this Uniting in Heart?
Well, I think Uniting in Heart is a great plan, and I think it's very sincere, and I think I just want to be in a role as a manager to implement it as well as we can. Again, the ultimate goal is to convert people to Christ and to make those who are already in the church stronger disciples. So I just want to be responsive to what God is calling me to in this position. And so with that, I have to pray, and I have to understand, you know, how do I lead my staff, and how do I have my staff engage the pastorates and the pastors and the leadership teams out in the various parishes to equip them. So that's really what the diocese is supposed to do, so I'm focused on that. If they're responsive, if the parishes are responsive, then it's going to impact the whole community. So that's our goal, is to just be supportive of the pastorates and the pastoral leadership teams in each of the parishes.
Well, Robert, our diocese is very blessed to have you on board. We've been talking with Robert Hartley. He's the Director of Evangelization, Family Life, and Pastoral Ministry for the Diocese of Lafayette. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
Thank you. You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.